He Said, She Said, also known as Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
It's a beautiful day out today.
It certainly is.
Nice to have some sunshine on our back. So, what's on your mind today?
What's on my mind today? Well, I'd just like to tell the audience that I am volunteer coaching my daughter's track team from grade 4 to grade 7, which I find quite interesting and stimulating, and the kids are awesome.
So you're functioning as a coach in track and field. What is it that you're doing?
Well, what I do is I warm them up with some little bit of plyometrics to and stretch them out. And also we do some drills to get them faster and stronger. And then they have track meets every couple of weeks. And they're doing quite well because it's all volunteer, because the teachers aren't participating any longer because of the cuts in the school system.
So not enough money to employ coaches to teach the kids the fundamentals of sport.
Yes, absolutely. One of the parents got together some other volunteer parents, and here we are. There's only about five parents, and there's 66 kids that registered for the track, and it's just unbelievable that more parents don't get out, although I know it is during the day from about 3 till 4, three times a week, so it's quite a big commitment for someone to participate in this.
Now, what effect does having a parent participate in a young child's career path in sport? Is that a positive effect, do you think?
Gee! Yes, I think it's absolutely essential for parents to get out there and show that they show an interest in their child's development of sport. My daughter, who is in grade 5, she's quite a strong athlete. Gee, I wonder why. And so that's the main reason that I get out there and I help support the school with my volunteering.
Yeah, okay, go on. Okay, so you're volunteering as a coach and you're working with the athletes one-on-one with a group after school. Now, I guess the problem is that the teachers, as a result of a controversy with contracts, now they've never been paid to coach teams anyway.
No, from what I gather,
okay,
no.
Okay, so a teacher in Canada is not paid to actually coach a school team. It's a function of their own time, and they contribute willingly because they so-called love the sport and love working with the kids.
Yes, absolutely. And any money that needs to be raised for the sport, the teachers and the kids do that after school and on their own time to raise money for costume or for some sort of
field trips.
Trips, yeah.
And competing and buying the paraphernalia and the materials that they need to play the sport.
Yes.
Be it football, track, lacrosse, whatever.
Yes.
So why is it that our policymakers make cutbacks in the game of sport and negatively affect athletics? Why is it that they always go in that direction, do you think?
What I think is, from what I see and from what I know, is that they're not fit themselves. They're not active. They're not into physical fitness. They're not in shape. The people who are our role models are not fit. And one of the things that I found was that the parents, and bless their hearts, getting out there three times a week to help volunteer, one of the kids said to me, "Why, Mrs. Hawley," oh, they actually call me Sergeant Tracy, "why are you the only one that gets out there and runs and does the exercises with us? Why don't any of the other parents do it?" And I said, "You tell me." And I said, "You go and ask the other parents why they don't." None of the other parents participate. They blow a whistle, but they don't get out there and participate with the kids. And that is one of the reasons why the kids respect me, is because I won't ask the kids to do anything that I won't do myself. And they admire that.
So that's kind of like growing up in school and having a PE teacher, but was not necessarily an ideal role model and actually turned off a lot of kids from sport.
Me, exactly. That's exactly my scenario, and I would love to mention names right now, but I'm not going to. I never thought that I'd ever get the day when I'd actually be able to say this live on air about my PE teacher, who would stand there and blow the whistle and make us all run around the school, and I'd turn around and I'd look and I'd think to myself, why isn't she running? And I thought, that's not a good role model for us to have as children. I would like to see her out there and doing it, because if it's so good for us, like she says, why aren't you doing it yourself?
So why is that? Why aren't the parents, the teachers, the policymakers, the enforcers, why aren't they engaged in physical fitness and natural whole food? Why aren't they utilizing this concept as a way of life?
I think they think it's just for the young. It's for, and as you get older, you age and you're supposed to slow down and get heavy. That's just the natural way of life. I think that's what they're programmed to think.
So you think it's a program?
I believe it's a program.
A function of conditioning.
Yes. And for myself, and I've talked to other masters athletes who are over 40, they say they are stronger than they have ever been in their life. And that's because they can continue to train throughout their life. And I find myself, I am stronger than I have ever been in my life. I can run faster. I can jump higher. I can lift heavier weights.
So if you don't use it, you will lose it. But if you continue using it, you will preserve the tissue, maintain the strength. And then along with that strength and health of muscle, there's a certain virility, a certain motivation, a certain drive value that you retain.
Oh, you put that so eloquently, Corey. I just love the way you put that. I couldn't have done that better myself.
Thank you very much. Now, I know that you just finished competing in a bodybuilding competition at the Masters. We talked about that in our last edition. Now that you're away from that, let's talk about your diet, your regular day-to-day dietary format. Obviously, you've got some carbs coming back in. Let's talk a little bit about what your daily dietary fare might be as a woman in her 40s who's engaged with exercise and sport, raising a family in 2002 in Canada.
I always wake up every morning and I have a great big glass of water. Filtered water, of course. And that really does, it takes about 5 minutes and it really does take the cobwebs out. Then I have a fresh carrot juice or I have a fresh grapefruit juice. And sometimes I mix it with protein or the vitamin C powder, a little flaxseed oil. And then as I continue my morning, then I'll have a cup of coffee and I always like to blend it in a blender with some protein powder. And that's my start of my morning. And then I go to the gym, do my thing, or I run around and I might have come home and then I'll have another protein shake. I do about 3 protein shakes a day. And then I'll have salads and I do have some yams and some squash and some wild rice. Maybe a little bit of pasta. The wheat pasta doesn't work well for me in my system. I find I get very congested. But there's other types of grain that you can have.
Well, what's wrong with regular pasta?
White pasta, white refined. It's white refined flour.
So it's not a whole food?
It's not a whole food, no.
Do you think most people know that?
No, I don't think they know that.
And a lot of athletes are told to eat pasta,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
So what kind of pasta are they eating?
White flour with white sugar.
So it's dry, dead,
yes.
Non-nutritive,
yes.
Empty calories.
Yes, but I'm sure it tastes good. Yeah, I haven't had white pasta for a long time, but I'm sure.
So the difference between looking at food and understanding its effect on your chemistry and the outcome of your life,
yes.
As opposed to determination of choosing food merely for taste.
Yes.
Okay, and so that's the big difference. That's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Here.
And when it comes to children, this is what I also talk to the kids about in the track class. I say, if you want, you've got to drink water. These kids aren't even starting off with the true basic. They're not drinking any water. And they're telling me that they're getting stitches in their sides and they've got sore knees and they've got this wrong with them and that wrong with them. And I'm thinking, my goodness, where's your water? Didn't you drink water before you came? Aren't you drinking water in between the intervals? What did you eat before you came out? Which is probably sugar. So these kids are really going in and they really have malnutrition, which doesn't mean that they're not getting enough to eat. They're just not getting the nutrients that they need to be able to perform with optimum health.
And it's apparent to me, and I'm sure it is to you, that the kids aren't getting any information pertaining to excellent whole food, high quality nutrition from school.
None whatsoever. This is what I've found. And you really have to be careful because I've been told, it kind of took the wind out of my sails doing this track. And I'm a little bit dismayed about this. And if any of the listeners want to talk about this or, you know, email me, that would be great. It's TracyHawley@shaw.ca. The wind was taken out of my sails because I was talking about the diet for children. One of the people said to me, you can't be talking about diet because the kids think that you are telling them about not eating. But I didn't get to say any further than that. And then another thing that happened was I was showing the kids how to do push-ups because a lot of the kids have no upper body strength whatsoever, none. They don't know anything about upper body strength, and you need upper body strength. So I was showing them some push-ups, and one of the kids had his butt up. So I pushed down. I said, get your butt down. Nobody wants to see it. Well, I was reamed out for that because of sexual harassment, that we'd probably be getting a phone call from one of the parents because I was touching the kids. Well, you know, I have been a dancing teacher for 25 years and teaching physical movement in a non-sexual way. That's what I teach. And the thing is for me to touch a kid so to get his body to move down so that he's administrating the exercise correctly, and to be called that sexual harassment, I just was totally blown away by this. And it's unfortunate because I know it does go on in schools and with coaches, but I don't know what to think about that.
So there's a form of fanaticism that's become as a result.
Absolutely. And it's unfortunate because I'm a volunteer and I'm trying to help and I do know what I'm doing, and then I'm getting reamed out about it. So there you go.
Unfortunately, we have lots of obstacles to overcome, but it is good to see parents like yourself, and there are many others that would like to participate, but unfortunately they get caught up in the politics or they're dismayed by the limitations of the small minds. And, to some people it's just not worth the effort to overcome and deal with the frustration of all of these issues.
Right. I believe that I have a lot to offer, and I know there's a lot of parents out there that have an awful lot to offer, but I always so looked at this about 3 times a week and going out there and participating. It's exercise for me as well. I get to run with the kids. I get to do the plyometrics with the kids, which I was told that that's not necessarily what it's all about, is for you to get out there. But that's what the kids want to see. The kids said, why don't any of the other parents do this? Why aren't they exercising as well? So parents, get out there and volunteer, but do it as well. Do the exercises as well. And also teach the kids the importance of water and nutrients before they start their training.
Okay, that's where we will end off. I guess we'll see you the next time around.
See you next time around, folks.
Okay, everybody.
Please turn to side 2 for our special guest interview.